Let the church say amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. This morning, so thankful to see each and every one of you that are out here this morning, because you didn't know on last night if you'd be able to be here this morning, but God has blessed us and given us another opportunity that we have to come out to serve Him in spirit and in truth. And we ought to be eternally grateful for that. This morning, there's so much that we can be thankful for. So much that we can be, that we have been blessed with. Even if you don't think you've been blessed, just that slice of bread that you ate this morning was a blessing from God. That water that you drank or that coffee that you drank this morning was a blessing from God. The last breath that you inhaled and then exhaled, that was a blessing from God. So we all have something to be thankful to God for. And this morning, as we go into these services this morning, we want to be thankful, ever thankful to God. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O God, O righteous Father, which art in heaven, blessed be your name, O Lord, for you are the blessing giver, you are the blessing maker, and we are the recipients of so many of those blessings, and we are so thankful. Father, we come praying this morning for this congregation, its leaders and their families, the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and their families, and each and every member in their families. We're just so thankful to have all of these blessings bestowed upon us. Father, we pray this morning for the sick and the shut-in, especially those in the household of faith. We just pray that those who have recently been through an illness, that they may continue to be healed and be able to be with us once again. We pray for those who have lost and are grieving the loss of a loved one. We pray for those who are standing up and going off to war-torn lands this morning. We just pray that you get them there safely and bring them back, or return them to us safely as well. We thank you for all those that have made it here this morning, and we pray for those who may still be on their way, that they may find safety in getting here. Father, we thank you for every blessing that you give unto us. Everything that you do for us, we owe it to you, and help us, Father, to be more thankful to you and ever grateful to you for all you do for us. Father, when we have done all that we have been put on this earth to do, when we have come to the very last footstep that we can take, we pray for a home with thee. In Jesus' name, the one who went up Calvary's hill, stretched out his arm, and gave up his life for us, we ask it all. Amen. No matter which way we turn today, we hear bad news. Someone was killed. Someone was robbed. Somebody was hurt in an automobile accident. A child being harmed. And even church folk are making the bad news circle today by teaching what is contrary to the will of God. The world is full of bad news. It's economic downturns, corporations closing, people out of work, and the list could continue on and on. But yet through it all, there is some good news, and it has been around for over 2,000 years, and it has not changed. It is in our text state that as cold waters are for a thirsty soul. Let us read that in Proverbs 25 and 25, it says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And then continuing over with Romans 1 and 16, the Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I know you've heard that many times before if you've been a member of the Lord's body, because every preacher has preached about it and mentioned it in his sermon. And I am no different. I'll preach about it and mention it in my sermon again and again, for we should not be ashamed of the gospel. When the world around us brings us nothing but bad and sad news, the Word of God has good news for us. Good news that I speak about is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it consists of three parts. Part one says Christ died for our sins. Part two says that he was buried for our sins. And part three says the best part, I think, of all is that he rose again on the third day, all according to the scriptures. When you put all three of these parts together, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the good news. Paul preached it back when, and the same gospel should be preached today. The same gospel and truth still is relevant now and until the end of time. Just how good is this good news? Well, let's look to the authority, the Word of God. In Romans 1:16, the writer said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now that means it's good for everybody. That means it's good for all people, because either you are a Jew or you are a Gentile. This very gospel shows us the way to salvation, and it is through the power of God. And without this power of God, it would be meaningless. And it is for those that believe. It was first to the Jews, but they turned away from the gospel. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 25, Paul told them, it was said, "Unto you first God raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquity." But then in Acts 13 and verse 46, Paul said to the Jews, "But seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life," so he turned it to the Gentiles. So God has blessed us to be a recipient of his gospel. The power of the gospel is far-reaching. The power of the gospel is far-reaching, and we need to be thankful each and every day for this good news that I speak about. The gospel, for it is has great power, especially the power to offer us salvation from this world of insanity and sin. And you know, it wouldn't be, there was a time, and I go back to when I was growing up, things wasn't quite so bad as they are now. Things were a lot better, as a matter of fact, when I was growing up. Everybody on the block took care of everybody else. Everybody on the block, mother was also had a mother down the street and a father up the street to straighten them out. But now you can't do that. That's not a good way to live these days. But there's hope in the good news. As we travel through this life of waiting to be permanently placed in our heavenly home, and I do say in our heavenly home because I believe that's what we're all here for this morning. We can look for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But in verse number 14, he says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, we are peculiar people, and that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That doesn't mean that we are crazy. It doesn't mean that we are full of it. It just means that we have been set aside by God, and we are considered to be his people. We often sing the song called "Won't It Be Wonderful There?" But we cannot truly comprehend just how great it will really be. And you know why we can't? Do you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 2 and verse number 9? It says, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. When we continue to love the Lord, heaven can be our home, for Christ shall return for his own. Do you remember in the Bible where it says, in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11, where it says, this is the same Jesus which is, as the men were gathered around looking up, the angel said, this is the same Jesus which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come in a like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So we know that Jesus is coming back. We don't know when he's coming back, but we know that he is coming back. So let us be ever watchful and in wait. I would like to pose a question to all of us this morning. Now that you know that Jesus is coming back, are you watching and waiting diligently, or are you just casually taking life one step at a time? Well, you don't have to answer that right now, but you need to consider the matter at hand, that you must be willing and be watchful for Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is that we shall be paid one day. Either we will be paid the wages of sin according to Romans 6:23, or we will be paid the gift of God, which is eternal life. Now, which one will be your pay? Only you can answer that. So this power of God, of the gospel, this good news, what can it accomplish? Well, as stated earlier in the gospel, this is a powerful, and as Christians, we should not be ashamed of it. Just what power does it have? Well, let us look at it for a moment. It has the power to prick one's heart, like in Acts 2 and 37. It has the power to make one want to hear the word more often, as in Acts 24 and 26, where Felix, hearing Paul preach to him, called for him more oftener and commanded commune with him. It has the power to change a man from being a persecutor to becoming a servant of God. The gospel is good news according to Acts 9 and 16. It caused Paul to become a servant of God. The gospel is good news to all who love the Lord, and is the news of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. The gospel is good for our souls, just as according to Proverbs 25 and 25, cold water is for our souls as well. The gospel revives us and renews our soul. Cold water refreshes and cools our body. The gospel, which is good news, is for it's also brought us from a life of sin to the opportunity of eternal life. And I tell you something, we need not be ashamed of the gospel, for it is refreshing for our weary souls. Jacob's spirit was revived when he saw his son Joseph had sent wagons to bring him to Joseph in Genesis 45 and 27. We should be revived to know that Jesus came from heaven to earth so that we might be able to be saved and receive his wonderful blessings. There is good news. Look at the text once again in Proverbs 25 and 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Good news is always exciting to hear. Good news means that there's something other than the bad news that surrounds us. Good news means that there is something good about something that we're about to hear. And good news makes us feel happier. I was speaking to somebody just the other day, and they told me, I'm glad I called you because you made me feel better. And I said to myself, well, this phone call was worth it because I made this person feel better. I don't know if I solved the person's problem or dilemma that they were facing, but they admitted that it made them feel better. And that's what the good news of the gospel does for us. It can make us not only feel better, but it can make us better. It makes us better because we are able to face a world of despair and depression and despair. It helps us to become a better person. It can help us to become a better person, but you have to want to accept it. You have to accept the gospel, the good news, the way it comes, and be willing and ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about it for a minute, if you will, church. Jesus came to this world. He lived for 33 short years. He lived on this earth that was full of anger and despair at him. But then, one day they said, let's crucify him. And somebody said, well, let's make him even carry the cross, his own cross. And they nailed him to his cross. They crucified him that we, not because of what he did, but because of us and what we had already done. We were living on the edge of death, all of us. We were dying. And I know what you're going to say, we're still dying, but we have a chance to live when we die this time. We were dead in sin back then, and God saved us. So that was where the gospel came from. That's the good news. It came from God himself in the form of the death of his son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, there's never any reason to be ashamed of the gospel, for it has the power to save us. It has the power to revive us. It has the power to renew us, to make us live a better life. And I know what we all want. Many of us want to live a better life today. We relate it to money. We say, if I had more money, I could live a better life. But some of us, even with more money, our life wouldn't be any better. We'd just be able to pay our way a little bit better. But nevertheless, God gave us an opportunity for eternal life. And that's better than having money to live better in this life any day. Good new cold water is as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Jesus came from a far country to save us and to give us the good news. He brought good news with him. Now, I don't think that anyone would dispute the fact that God came to this world and sent his son to this world to save us. If you dispute that fact, then you got it all wrong. He came down here not to be a part of us so much as he did to save us from ourselves. We had destroyed ourselves, and God saved us. And I thank God for his saving us. Then when I think about it and go a little bit further, I look at the matter and I think at hand that without God, there would be no us. Without Jesus Christ, where would we be? I often ask that question. So then when I go over to Romans 1 and 16, once again it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, the Jews rejected it, but the Greeks was then given to the Greek, and the Greek are the Gentiles. But when I look at verse number 17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We've got to live by faith, church. You've got to believe that Jesus was sent here to save us. You can't see faith. You can't feel and touch faith. You cannot smell faith. But you must have faith in order to please God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So then, without this faith, you won't believe that Jesus came here, was buried and died, and raised again, was crucified, buried, and then raised again for us. But the Bible says that he was, and I believe it. In chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, what I read for you earlier, I'm going to read the whole thing for you now. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Then verse 3 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and again, and that he was raised, that he was buried, and that he rose again a third day according to the Scriptures." According to the Scriptures. It's not according to man's word, it's according to the Scriptures. And I tell you, there's one thing about it, that the Scriptures are not wrong. Only man is wrong. God is never wrong. God is never wrong, because the Bible said it's impossible for God to lie. And the Bible is the Word of God. So Christ brought us the good news from a far country. Christ brought us good news all the way from heaven to earth. And we need to heed it and live by the Word of God. Now I know that some of us think that we know how to live better than God wants us to live. We can't understand why we live the way we live sometimes. But God knows all about it. God already knows about how we live, why we live, and where we live. God knows all about us. And I think to myself sometimes, "Lord, how can I make it without you? How can we do it without you, Lord? For living without you, Lord, would be suicide. It would be without you, Lord, that I can't make it the next day. Because, see, when I go to sleep at night, I don't know if I'm going to get up or not. But when the next morning, when the dawn of the next day rolls around and my eyes peep out the window and I realize it's daylight, another day has come into my life. Now, I may not make it this entire day, but at least I live to see a new day come into my life." And you ought to be thankful for that, because God didn't have to carry you through the night. You know, when you're asleep, you don't know what's going on around you. You may think you do, but I know what some folks say, "Oh, I'm a light sleeper." Well, you're not that light of a sleeper that you can control what goes on around you at night. You have to rely and thank God before you go to sleep. "Thank you, Lord, for putting me to sleep. And then, Lord, watch over me while I sleep." And if you think that you can control the sleep, try it one of these times and see if you can. "Oh, I didn't go to sleep at all last night," somebody may say, but you went to sleep somewhere along in those lines. And maybe it was only for 10 or 12 minutes, but you dropped off to sleep most likely. And when you dropped off to sleep, you were a loss to yourself. So God took care of you and woke you up that next time you woke up, whether it was the next morning or whether it was the next 10 or 12 minutes. God took care of you. And I thank God for each time that he wakes me up. Because that means that I got another opportunity to get up. And when I can get up, I can move about. Thank God for that. He brought the good news for us from a far country, and it's like water for cold water to a thirsty soul. Thank God for cold water. You know, these ladies, they bring me cold water and put it up here every Sunday morning so I can sip off it to soothe my throat a little bit. And I thank God for those ladies. I thank God for the water that we can drink. And I thank him for the food that we can eat. And I thank him for the life that we can live. But we can live a better life with him than we can without him. So thank God. Thanks be to God. And I know my time is just about up, so I'm closing this pretty quickly now. But one thing I do want to say is that God is good. And all the time, God is good. And when that news came from a far country, it came in the form of Jesus Christ. He came to save us and to give us an opportunity for everlasting life. Now, somebody might ask the question, well, I was living all right. Why did I need Jesus? Well, because you were on your way to the grave. You were dead in your sins, and you needed to be stopped in your tracks. And Jesus did that for us by going to yonder's cross. He was nailed to the cross. And if you want a picture of that, I'll try to give you a short, brief picture of that. Nails were nailed in his hands. Nails were nailed in his feet. And he, before that, that was on the cross, but before the cross, he had been beaten with a whip. And then they made him drag his cross up Calvary's hill. And if you don't think that's punishment enough, they nailed him, they put him up on that cross, lifting him up. But he had already predicted that. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Signifying that he knew that he was going to die and that his death would be from the cross. Jesus is good. So how do you share in the good news? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And you know there's something about us as individuals. We sometimes walk astray when we don't intend to, but we walk astray. But if you went astray and you need to come back to God, you go back to God, ask him for forgiveness, come forward, ask the church to pray for you. You know, and there's nothing wrong, there's no shame in asking the church to pray for you. The prayers of the righteous avail as much. Somebody in here can get a prayer through. I just believe that. I don't know if it's one of the elders, I don't know if it's the preacher, I don't know if it's one of the bench members, but somebody can get a prayer through, and when you come before the church asking them to forgive you, be sincere. You don't have to say what I've done or what you've done, you just ask the church to pray for you. I've stood here many times and asked the church to pray for me, because I need my prayers and I need your prayers that go along with my prayers. So if you've fallen short, you come back to God and ask the Lord to pray, ask the Lord to forgive you, ask the church to pray for you. Thank God for all that he has done for you. As we together stand and sing the song of invitation, if that be your desire. 798.